Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Speaking of having a party, I got a buddy in town. I'm not going to put any names out there. Buddy in town, a little bit of business. And he's asking me some questions. Where should he go before the game? I'm not going to go to the Astros game tonight.
Is it Emmett Smith?
No, it's not Emmett. It's not Emmett. Emmett probably wouldn't need my help on where to go. I mean, I'd imagine he's got a runner.
Wouldn't that be something if Emmett Smith hit you up? Say, hey, man.
I'm going to tell you right now. If Emmett was hitting me up right now, I'd say, I'm going to tell you where you're at. You're at in the studio. Give me about 30 minutes in the studio. Let's break a little bread. And then you don't need to Uber. Right. I'll drop you at the bar you need to go to. In fact, I may stick around and let you buy me a couple of beers. You still owe me from back in the day.
I'll stick around anyway. And let you.
Yeah.
Emmett Smith still owes you?
Oh, ain't no doubt about it.
Where's your damn head at,
you slipped.
Oh, ain't no doubt about it, man.
I wouldn't have paid for a damn drink for it.
I tell you, why this is about running back? You know, Ricky Williams. Ricky Williams still owes me a damn autographed jersey from Miami.
Okay. That ain't drink. I wish Emmett would if there was a tab between the two of us.
Oh, no.
I would stare his ass down.
I don't know that we ever paid a tab when Emmett was around. No. I mean, he owes me for other reasons, not that.
Well, never mind.
But buddy's in town, a little business, going to the Astros game. I gave him the spots that he needed to go to before the game, a couple of bars in that area. Gave him several options, four different options, if I'm being honest, that he needed to stop through. But then he hit me up and he said, hey, man, got some customers with me. Best strip joint in Houston.
Uh-oh.
Best strip in Houston. Where should we go? I said, well, you know what? I just happen to have about 100,000 friends out there listening right now. Let me run it by them. 713-572-4610. Best shake in Houston. Best strip joint in Houston. You got customers. Or if it's your thing and you got the fellas are out and about or whatever it is you do, maybe you and your old lady go by the strip joint. Whatever it is. You're going to catch the Astros game, catch some pops, drink some pops before. Astros going to, of course, get a W, so you're going to be in a real good mood.
Shout out to the ladies just getting ready for work. Getting started, getting themselves going.
That's right.
Getting themselves in game time mode right now.
Easy on the glitter. Easy on the glitter. Easy on the perfume now. It's hard to shake that stuff. It's hard to shake that stuff late, man.
It really is.
Easy on that stuff. Do yourself a favor.
Glitter is the herpes of the craft world. Yep.
I don't know if I would phrase it like that, but 713-572-4610. The number one strip joint in Houston. Where are you going tonight? Minute Maid Park. Stay up on the north side kind of deal, I believe, I tell you what, you got the whole full reign of the city. Where are you going? Top shake joint in the city. I got to let my guy know. I don't know off the top of my head, so I'm gonna rely on the people. 713-572-4610. You text in, Ron will have it for us right here.
I had some questions.
White guy.
Okay, thank you. I'm just going to see what maybe would be his interest.
White guy.
Where's he leaning?
Now, he'll get way out over his skis now. You know what?
Because I want him to be comfortable.
Very similar to that guy on the side of that glass in there.
Okay, all right.
That must be a hell of a guy.
Very similar to Tyler, so think through that. Maybe Onyx isn't the one on this one. Maybe we go in.
Could have a very, very good time in Onyx, no question about it, but I don't think he'll fit in.
Don't know if that is exactly 100% comfortable.
Nah, I don't know if that's where he's
cabaret somewhere. Like something
Gentleman's Club needs to be where he goes.
Gentleman's Club, okay.
All right.
Is that the men's club?
Yeah, the men's club.
What about Treasures?
The men's club.
Treasures was going to be my second one.
Treasures right here. How about a Colorado Club?
Colorado's Club's been around forever, man.
If you want a budget. Colorado Club, someone said.
If you're on a budget.
Is that where you were when you were haggling over?
Ron tries to get two for $5. Two dances
write it down
for $5.
Here.
You haggled a lap dance?
Ron's over here got a pinky up on a drink he's drinking over there and got his phone out taking notes. That text line must be moving on his ass. Oh, man. But let us know. 713-572-4610. My buddy will appreciate it. A couple other things to note real quick. Boys, I got my computer's at 15%. We're rolling. Whatever charger the boss man came up with is working. By the way, my wife, I'm trying to Ron's rubbing off on me a little bit here. I kind of let my eating habits get away from him. I'm trying to bring in a snack and kind of do some things. He's encouraging me, right? Well, I grabbed some yogurt out of the fridge today. I'm going to tell y'all right now, plain yogurt is awful.
I gotta have some vanilla.
That's exactly right, man. At the very least, Lauren, at the very least, get vanilla. Are you kidding me? Plain is I can't get enough of this damn granola in that little cup right there.
Should plain yogurt be discontinued?
Absolutely. It should simply be for one reason. It's where you start when you put a little something in it. When you put a little flavor in it.
Unless you're using it like for some cooking. Maybe plain yogurt, you don't want any flavor, but you want the yogurt. Maybe that's
well, I mean, ultimately, that's the same thing as, I mean, anything, if you're going to add flavor to it, that's where it should be like broth. It should be like broth. Like you're adding something to it. Like it's always adding something to it to make it complete. Like it, just plain yogurt should not be the deal. By the way, moving on. C.J. Stroud. Did y'all see C.J. Stroud put on a clinic throwing out the first pitch?
Sure as heck did.
Right down the pipes.
I mean, right down the pipe.
Now, John Singleton was able to catch it.
Now, John, he framed it.
He framed it.
He really didn't just catch it. Hell, he framed it.
Angel Hernandez would have called it.
Even Angel would have called that damn thing a strike in Houston. Here's the deal. Did you see the video? He actually got on the side and warmed up a little bit.
Smart.
Got on the side, warmed up a little bit. Had it look like somebody that may be an Astros player squatted down on the sides, like he was throwing to the actual catcher.
That's how the hell you do it. Did it look like he's pitched before?
I don't know. I just watched.
Because when I looked at him, it didn't seem like he, like, you know, there are some guys you go out there and watch. It's like, oh, that guy pitched. That guy's throwing. A lot of quarterbacks do pitch.
I didn't really break down the mechanics for a change. I was more in on the framing that John Singleton. There was a lot to take in at that point on that video, right? When John Singleton left-handed was framing it over the plate, that kind of stole it for me, but. C.J. Stroud, that's how the hell you throw out a first pitch. You get there a little early, you warm up, you look the part, you go out there confidently, and you don't overdo it, obviously, but you get up there and you rip one down.
He ripped it, though. I was going to say, it had some pace on it.
That's it. Here's the deal. John Mechie, y'all. C.J. Stroud, D'Amico Ryans, Will Anderson, they spoke to the media yesterday. And John Mechie's name was brought up multiple times, right? We all know John's story. He's been in the league 2 years. He got drafted in April, July. All of a sudden, he's got a form of cancer, leukemia. Which one was it?
Leukemia. Leukemia. Yep.
That he was out for the first. He was out for his first year in the league. He was away from the team. He comes back. He's healthy enough to be back last year. A lot of people, every time we talked about the wide receiver room, people brought up John Mechie early in the conversation. I was like, whoa, pump your brakes a little bit, right? But John Mechie was brought up multiple times. Here's C.J. Stroud on John Mechie specifically. He was brought up 3 or 4 times now in a 10 or 15-minute media session with C.J. Stroud. But here he was when Stroud was specifically asked about John Mechie.
Man, he has a ton of value, a huge impact I think that he'll bring this season. I think last year was good to get his feet back in the water, you know, coming off of an injury, then something so traumatic, like being sick how he was. And man, his mindset is just, you know, he's ready to come back and ball. So not only is he a great football player, but he's a great person. And I wouldn't want to be anywhere else with anybody else other than those guys in that room. So Mechie's looking amazing. Everything that he'll put on this field will be no surprise. But, you know, I think everybody in his room knows how special he can be, and he'll put that on the field.
Ron, this one got me to thinking. Because, look, John Mechie came out of Alabama. Him and what's William's first name, the kid in Detroit right now?
Oh, starts with a J.
Jameson Williams. And John Mechie were together at Alabama and were a hell of a combo. And I liked John Mechie. I was not in love with John Mechie. I wondered how his game would transition to the NFL. You knew Jameson Williams, you knew that speed was going to transition to the NFL in a major way. That's why he was taken earlier than John Mechie. But I always wondered, what is John Mechie in the NFL? What does that look like in the NFL? I thought he'd be successful, but I wondered how successful and how dominant he could be, whether it was physically or with his speed, right? How does it look at the NFL level? But the audio got me to thinking about him, Ron. Whatever your expectations were for John Mechie, April the 29th, when the Houston Texans drafted him in 2022, right? Between that day and July of 2022 when they announced that he was sick, whatever your expectations were for him in that 3 to 4 month span right there is what your expectations should be for him today. Anything prior to this year, I think it was unfair, unrealistic, and the odds were stacked against the young fella to have any level of success, consistent success, and even remotely close to live up to a number, a second round draft pick in the league. It was silly to even talk about it, if we're being honest. This year is the year for John Metchie. He's been healthy for a season. He's been healthy in an offseason where he can actually get out there and grind and work with the fellas and get his body right. And now he's in a position with a play caller that's as good as any, or last year was as good as any in the league, a quarterback that last year was as good as anybody in the league, and a supporting cast, the receiver position, that should give plenty of opportunity. Those guys are going to get a ton of attention, whether it's Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins. They're going to get a ton of attention. So when Metchie does get in the game, there should be some opportunity there, Ron. I think now is the time. John Metchie ultimately got a pass for 2 years, rightfully so. This is the year when the expectations, the bar should be set for John Metchie. This is the year to expect him to show up and show out. And B, a second-round pick expectation. I mean, it's not second. Yeah, second-round pick. Whatever expectations come with that, be that for the Texans.
A couple of things. Listening to CJ there and listening to you. First with CJ. I wonder if we said, CJ, what are your thoughts about Jared Wayne?
He's amazing.
Right? Jared Wayne, who is right now listed as the fourth receiver behind Stephon Diggs, behind Robert Woods and Xavier Hutchinson. I wonder what he'd say about Johnny Johnson III.
There ain't no doubt. There's no doubt that C.J. Stroud is bordering on everybody being amazing.
He's got something to
say. Yes, indeed.
I'll tell you, boy, I tell you, Jared, boy, what he does, he's able to go up and get the ball. He high points. Like, I feel like he's got something to say for everybody. But what you're talking about with John Metchie, I don't know about you, Tyler. I don't have any expectations from John Metchie.
Not much.
I don't have any expectation, and the very slim amount of expectation that I have may walk out the door come draft night. Because I feel like I don't, because I know what CJ's saying, but what they keep telling me is, like, they keep either bringing in people ahead of them or keeping on guys as insurance. I don't know why Robert Woods is still on this team. They didn't brought back Steve Sims, right? Now Stephon Diggs didn't have anything to do with him, but they brought back Noah Brown. Right now, I mean, you count it right now, straight up, that's Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Noah Brown, who I know flat out right now are ahead of him. Yep. Should be.
There's your four.
They bring back Steve Sims, who has, to me, shown more than he has. Right, and if they draft with any of, they've got two twos, a three, and two fours. If they draft a wide receiver with any of those first three picks, the two twos or the three, like, that's another person that they are putting either is insurance or slotted in front of them, right? And that would be five at least. Ron, they're telling me, despite what CJ's saying, they're telling me that they wouldn't re-sign Noah Brown if they felt very confident that he could be a four.
If this team drafts a wide receiver with either two or the third round pick, I'll kiss your tail in Town Square at a city meeting.
You don't think with the top three picks, they got two twos,
Ron,
and
if
three.
If they draft a wide with the needs on the defensive side of the football and at guard, if they draft a wide receiver, I fully expect Ron Ugly to bring his ass in here and stand on this table and rip and roar about what in the hell D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio are doing.
They may be going best available.
Receiver has
a very good chance to be best available.
It's a deep receiver draft. Look, I mean, you're not wrong, because if they do, then you're right. Then clearly they have written off John Metchie.
You don't even think it's on the board?
I don't even think it's on the board. Man, you got Nico Collins, you got Tank Dell, and you got Stephon Diggs. I mean, and you just re-upped Noah Brown, and that's your, even if those are your top four guys and those are the four guys you're going to ride. Look, I've already written Bob off. I don't think he's going to be here.
Why is he still here?
I think you can save some money with that. I think he's gone. But I like this team, like they, I just don't think they're in a spot to even consider wide receiver. Look, I think John Metchie's got a chance to be the number five wide receiver on this team. I think he's got a chance to be the fifth wide receiver on this team.
And you have expectations for the fifth wide receiver? Like, because you said the expectation.
I don't think there's room for him to show up and go out there and be a 1,000-yard wide receiver unless a bunch of guys get
hurt.
But
you said whatever expectations you had as he was drafted, now is the
whatever
year.
You, and I mean that more from a skill standpoint. Like, whatever you expected to see. Like, this is a loaded wide receiver room, especially if you're not Mike Evans or Devontae Adams to walk in here. When you're talking about the two, three, and four wide receiver on this team, it is loaded. There is as good a 2, 3, and 4 wide receiver as there is in the league right now in this receiver room. So I don't expect the guy to go out there and get a ton of run. I'm saying when you and me go sit down and when a fan watches a game and John Metchie gets in the game, last year, hell, you might as well have ran Sims' ass out there. You just said it. Sims has been better.
But based off what you're saying, when you say the expectations that you have when he was drafted, if I go by that, then your ass should beat out Noah Brown.
Fair. I think that is very, 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 if you.
Like, if you talk about what fair. I thought about a second-round pick, fair. They moved up to get him.
Fair.
Your ass should beat out Noah Brown.
100% fair.
And I don't know, from based off what I've seen, I don't think I can put that on him.
Well, I don't.
Based on what
we've seen, you're right. But that's what I'm saying is it's time. Like it ain't about what we've seen. Hey, man, he went through something that we've never seen before.
Yep.
Like now is the time for him to step up and prove that he belongs. And boy, if that dude ends up being the fifth receiver on this team, good gosh. Assuming he's right.
Yeah.
And I think when he does get in the game, like you saw last year, five receivers ended up having to play, more than five had to play. I think you see a guy that can change the game, not a guy that is just drops touchdowns.
Yeah, and I hope he can separate more because that was the big thing
very
for
fair.
Him was his inability now's to,
the time.
To separate. So we'll say I just ain't got it for him. No expectations. I would be pleasantly surprised if we saw potentially anything close to why they moved up to go get him
right
in the second round coming out of Alabama. All right, we're sitting in, especially based off last night. Miss me with the too early thing. This is becoming a disaster and will remain a disaster if things don't change quickly. I ain't trying to scare nothing. I'm just being honest, and I got the facts to prove it. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, fellas. The Astros are 6-12 right now. Clint said... I said they're approaching a danger zone. Clint said that they're there. Damn it, tonight
they're there.
And last night, coming off of winning 2 of 3 from the Rangers and winning those last two games at home the way they did, they lose yesterday 6-1. It's 2-1 going into the ninth inning. They've got their closer on the mound, and they're hoping that he can hold it right there and get those bats back up at the line, get those bats back up to the plate to try to at least get that game tied, if not walk it off. And then he came out, Clint, as you all know, just and got rocked. So bad that Brandon Bielak had to come and relieve him.
He threw
so many pitches. I'm pretty certain that he's not available tonight. And honestly, he's not a guy who pitches, if he's going to pitch back-to-back days, it's not going to be with high pitch counts like he had yesterday. So pretty certain that he is going to be out today with what he did yesterday. And Clint, this is one to watch. And I don't think it's too early to be seriously getting concerned about the season. I will say it's maybe too early for this, but this right now, thus far, this has been an absolute disaster. the bringing in of Josh Hader and the back end of this bullpen and what we thought it was going to be, it has thus far been a complete disaster. And honestly, if it continues, like, this is the kind of thing people get fired over. Right? When you look at, we look at it and we're like, boy, we're looking at that center field situation. We were sitting here and talking about it. I'm like, they're really not going to run Jake out there in center field. They probably had the opportunity. We know they did. They went and gave Hader 5 years, $95 million. So they had the opportunity to do
it. When you already had a closer, two guys that could close.
I thought Brian Abreu was ready to take over the role. I think Brian Abreu has arguably been the best reliever on this team the last 2 years, at least the last year and a half. He was ready to go, if not Presley, if not rolling with Presley. But you had a center field issue because you're hell-bent on playing Mauricio Dubon as a utility guy, which I understand. That value, if he is able to be that, can be huge. But you got Jake Meyers in center. And instead, like, all right, we're going to go 5 years, $95 million. You have a bench that includes Maurice and who else? And John Singleton. You knew what John Singleton was when you got him. Now, he swung the bat a little bit well here of late. That don't still mean, like, hey, we're going to use our bench. You know you're going to use him. You walked up there and used John to pinch hit. You know you're going to use him. And you didn't do anything to get better on the bench. So you went 5 year, $95 million to a closer, as you said, when you had two guys already on the roster who you feel could probably close at a high level. Been in the bullpen when you won a championship. And you kind of decided to do that to neglect those other things. And now that has, to me, I don't care what nobody says, has appeared to, in some way, cause issues with Abreu and Presley. I damn sure believe so with Presley. To where you're sitting here with that back end of the bullpen where we thought this could be one of the best bullpens we've heard people talk about since the Nasty Boys. With the Reds, since the Royals, who went on, won a World Series with their back end of the bullpen, since the Billy Wagner, Octavio Dotel run here. Who's the third, Tyler? Who the hell am I leaving off?
Those are definitely the big two.
Is it Lidge?
Lidge, yeah, yeah, Lidge came after them. Yeah. Yep.
Like since that.
Before Pujols took his soul.
He really did.
That's all right. I got close to the pin.
I still could see him squatted on that mound.
Me too.
He didn't want the ball back.
I got him at River Oaks Country Club. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you did. That's right. But Hader's ERA is at 9.39. Presley, 9.53. Abreu, 6.75. The middle has consistently been better than them. Like, if you were going to do this and say, we're going to take a chance with Jake, we're going to take a chance with this bench, which clearly they could have done that. They could have given themselves better options on the bench and in center field if you gave Hader 5 years, 95. You better be right on it. And instead, you're not just right. This is just out of control how bad this is.
Yeah, dead wrong.
And that's the kind of, I'm not saying Dana or anybody's going to fight, but that's the kind of thing that gets people's jobs in trouble. And well, this better change quickly.
Dana better be glad he didn't have nothing to do with that Abreu.
That Abreu one,
I'm talking about the Jose Abreu. I'm talking about that first baseman. Because, I mean, when you look at everything you just laid out, along with the way that the Abreu deal is working out, along with how the Montero deal worked out last year, they've thrown some good money at bad recently, man, and so they need this, they need those three guys you mentioned more than anything. I mean, obviously they need to get healthy first and foremost, but outside of injury, they need Hader, Abreu, and Presley to get right, and they need to be nails in the 7, 8, 9. I don't care who's doing what, but they need to be nails in big games versus the better opponents, 7, 8, 9. They need, those guys need to generate. You talking about we'll go a long way. Those guys need to generate some momentum, if you will, of just being shut down in 7, 8, 9.
Well, that's what you expected, and that's what they should be. And Clint, they have been as big a problem as, actually, they've been a bigger problem than the starting pitching. Because at least with those guys, with Blaine and Spencer, you can write off with, or not Blaine, Blair.
Blair. That yesterday
Blaine, Blaine.
Blair. Taking 70. Drive-bys. You can at least say, all right, those guys are young. These three are supposed to be the best in the game. And they have either lost games or themselves put games out of reach when they've entered because they've given up so much. Right? Like we watched what Hunter Brown and what Spencer did and what Blair did. They have done it a few times from the back end. Last night was 2-1.
Yep.
It's 6-1 when they take them out or go to the plate in the night. That's,
Ron,
it's crazy.
It's a tough pill to swallow when a young kid like Spencer Arrighetti comes out there and goes four innings, gives up two runs.
At least gives you a chance.
And at least gives himself, he got better from one to start two and he's over here going, man, okay, I feel good about what I just went out there and did. And then you sit over in the dugout and watch.
And Seth Martinez comes in and gives you. Rafael Montero comes in and gives you help. Abreu comes in and then.
And you watch Hader go out there and let them extend the lead. It's a tough pill, man. The thing about the Astros right now is like they just can't find any momentum anywhere. Even the big day from Altuve. Now, I know Altuve's hot, and the big day from Altuve. Those are just like it's the momentum gets sucked out of the ballpark when last night happens, when it's Hader, when it's Presley, when it's Abreu,
especially when it's those guys.
Yes,
like it feels different. It's like damn.
Yeah.
Someone texted in and said, "Center field. What about first base?" Well, I mean, their hands are tied with first. They got $20 million over there. They got to try to make that. We established Jake's made $1.6 million in his career. They didn't have to be stuck there. Good Lord. All right, coming up. I'm interested in the thought that Clint has here with the Texans. This is intriguing. Based off something that that the head coach, D'Amico Ryan, said, almost like, hey, let's pump the brakes and have the proper mindset of what the Texans potentially should have. We'll discuss that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, is there a little news here, potentially, Tyler, about Justin Verlander?
There is some news indeed.
Oh, please let it be good. We need it.
Manager of the Houston Astros, while meeting with the media just a few moments ago, he said that Justin Verlander will be making his 2024 debut on the bump for the Stros. It'll be either Friday or Saturday coming up. They will determine that for sure tomorrow.
Yeah, this weekend. So that's huge to get him back. Right now, you just have two guys in the rotation right now that you feel any level of confidence in. Cannot have confidence very much in Spencer Arrighetti. Cannot have very much confidence, if any at all, than the fella throwing the ball tonight at Hunter Brown. And maybe you got a tinge, but I don't know how much you have in J.P. France. Friday night, the look in his eye, he looked like he just didn't have any answers. And he didn't. Until Angel Hernandez said, "Here, man, I'm gonna let you off here. I got three balls clearly off the plate. You just keep going further outside. I'll call him.
I got your back,
bro. I got you, man. I never liked this Wyatt Langford kid. So his ass is gone. But outside of that, so that would be big to have a third person, and not just a third person. It's Justin Verlander." And you can feel a lot better about that. And at least you could tell yourself, all right, we got Verlander, we got Blanco, and we got Javier. We got a chance in those games. And then maybe we just beat the hell out of somebody and score 10, 11 runs or something, those other two.
Yeah.
And we can go off, right? You feel like you can win a 2-1 game with those goals. By the way, you had a 2-1 game going into the ninth yesterday. So anyway, but.
Well, I mean, the schedule has no. I mean,
there's no let up, is it?
Well, I mean, no. I mean, there's no way it can be as difficult as it has been. Yeah. I mean, you've had four against the Yankees, seven against the Rangers, and you will have had three against the Atlanta Braves.
Who's next?
And then, by the way, Kansas City's thrown in there. I don't know what they've done
They're 11
Astros.
And six.
Huh?
They're 11 and six.
Yeah, so I mean, that's a pretty good squad too. But then you go Washington, Chicago, Colorado, Cleveland. So, I mean, I'm not saying there. I mean, I just when you look at it, it's
which
not
Chicago.
It's, I'm sorry, Cubs.
Oh, the Cubs are.
Yeah.
The White Sox are one of the worst teams. The White Sox have a chance to be. How bad were the Astros that one year?
Whew. Had a stretch of them.
White Sox are feeling it.
Definitely triple digits in the loss column. Mm-hmm.
Yep, they are 2-16. Whee. I mean, 2-14. Mm. They've been
surely run.
They've been shut out five times, and then they have four other games where they've scored one run. Mm. There.
Yeah.
At least you're not there. To the person texted in, like, this is how I know you all know it's not too early. When you've got to hold on to this one, Tyler and Clint, don't forget, in our past, we had a year where we started 15-30 and ended up making the World Series. That was a year after a year with high expectations. It started out really slow. When you type that in, you know you're clinging. Like, you know how unusual that is. And I'm going to go out on the limb to say that that's a Roger Clemens, Andy Pettit-led, Roy Oswalt-led rotation.
National League days. A little different.
National League. Jeff Bagwell's walking through that door. And now Jeff is out here.
Getting new contracts for folks.
He's out here standing at the batting cage going over a lengthy early batting cage performance with Jose Abreu yesterday to go out there and to have him just get beat by 88.
Nobody needs it more than Jeff, man. I know Jeff said he doesn't want to be a GM, but
he was out there for an hour with him.
Oh, I bet he was.
And then he came in here and did what he did yesterday.
I bet he was.
That 88 went past him so fast. I had to look at that again. I tried to give Jose an excuse. I said, well, maybe he was looking slider. He was looking slider. He was looking change.
Yeah, yesterday, I don't know if this is a good thing or not, but I will. As I said, I tuned over there when I was up to something. I looked down. I was like, oh, it's the ninth, man. Let me check this out, see what's going on. Haters on the bump. Well, I don't know why, but I stuck around for the bottom of that inning. And I will say this. Again, I don't know if it's good or bad, but Abreu did try to unleash on one. He did swing and miss, and he finished with his chest about towards the shortstop.
And he swung through. It didn't look like a chop.
Did not look like his back was about to snap. One time, one swing. Now, the result was the same, but it did look like he was at least somewhat frustrated in going after that sucker.
And had a swing where you felt like
– I felt like – well,
at least
I mean,
touched it.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, that's the thing is – it's one
How
thing.
How does he get blown by with 88?
With that short of a swing. It's not like he's loading up. It's not like he's Jeremy Pena this thing and dropping it down by his bicep in the windup.
Maybe he should try it.
Maybe.
If he got in that thing and got
watch,
a,
man.
If he got in there and got in the left-hand box, that'd be interesting. give it a shot. All right. Yesterday, D'Amico talked about being the hunted, Clint, or still hunting. They're hunting. But if you listen to the national media and you listen to a lot of people around and you listen to Vegas, who has them tied with the Ravens in terms of Super Bowl odds, you could wonder, what are the Texans? Are they the hunted, or are they still hunting? Because they are a heavy favorite right now to win the South, their division right now, Vegas, and most people look at it. Do you think the Texans in a year have moved to a hunted position?
No. No, I don't. Now I think of the national media they have. I think what the
They've
Texans...
They've at least been put on the same, feeling like at least if not on the same level or close to the level of teams that I think we have viewed as...
Yeah,
we got to get to their level.
Well, we somehow want to put them on the same level with Baltimore, who we saw them on the field with last.
Teams have changed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Danielle Hunter's a hell of a player.
Tank would be back.
Tank would be back. Yeah,
Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs. No. Look, I get it. The Texans are better. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Baltimore's going to get better
Titus
as well. I mean, Titus will be better in his normal position.
Be back.
Absolutely. Hey, Joe Mixon's better
Joe
running
Mixon,
back.
Yeah,
no question. Here's the
they
deal.
Got a new running back too.
Here's the deal with the Texans. They have gone, pretty good one. They have gone. That's had a lot of success against the Texans, by the way. They have gone from being the laughing stock of the NFL to being on the radar for everybody in the league, being a team that if you take them lightly, if you overlook them, they'll put a foot in your ass. That's what the Texans have accomplished. Let's be honest where we're at. And this is, I hope, this is the poison that I hope the team doesn't believe. I don't want to minimize the season. It was a great season. But let's take it for what it was. You had a rookie quarterback play like we've never seen a rookie quarterback play before. You had a relatively speaking very weak schedule. You won a game at the end of the season to get into the playoffs by against a team with a backup quarterback and a failed fourth down play to get into the playoffs. And that's the NFL. Everybody says that's the life of the NFL. I agree wholeheartedly. But let's not act like we dominated and beat some really, really good football teams and good quarterbacks in the league and some established quarterbacks in the league to get there. The schedule's going to get more difficult. People are going to have film on you. In no way, shape, or form are the Texans the hunted at this point in time. I just hope like hell. And I think D'Amico's saying the right things, and I think D'Amico's mentality is always to be a hunter and a killer, like he said, like he and Will Anderson said multiple times. But no, this team, in no other than in the media, you can't tell me there's any other team in the league right now, Ron. There's not another team in the league right now that says, man, to win the Super Bowl, this thing goes through Houston. Man, look, I'll be honest with you, Ron.
No one's saying it, but damn it, when you listen to people talk about the Texans and AFC.
You know the game.
It sounds.
You know the game.
It does not sound like a team that won 10 games and won their division in the last week and won a playoff game and then got blown out. That's really young in a lot of spaces. That it does not sound like that.
I agree. I think the media is going to blow it out of proportion. I think they are a team that is respected right now. I don't believe they are a team that's feared. I think they're respected. And you got teams out there that strike fear in folks. Hell, Pat Mahomes, people going with different game plans against Pat Mahomes because they're so scared of how quickly they can score points. Like they're not anywhere even remotely close. They haven't earned or are they anywhere close to be in a team that is feared in this league. They're a sexy pick. They're going to be a lot more, I think, fun to play against and ultimately beat for opponents. There's teams are going to look forward to playing Houston. There are teams that are going to put Houston, like beating Houston is going to be a nice little resume builder. But being the hunted in the NFL, nah,
man. I'll be honest.
I don't know that they're the hunted in the damn division.
Someone text in our guy or on the chat here on YouTube and Twitch, C. Mallory said, they're hunting for the Super Bowl, but they're the hunted in the division.
I don't even know that they're the hunted in the division.
I would agree with that.
Division?
I think everyone is looking to get past them in the division. I'm flabbergasted.
Well, yeah, because they won it last year, though. I mean, like, yeah, no, I
with CJ there and especially what they have added.
I would pick the Texans to win the division. I got the Texans as the division win, but it's not a convincing – like, you literally beat the Colts backup quarterback to get in the playoffs last year that played all year long without their starting running back, who's one of the top three in the league, top four in the league, missed half the damn season. I mean, it's not a convincing, like in your own division, it's not a convincing you are the hunted. I mean, I think Jacksonville, if we're being completely honest, is, I mean, 2 years ago, they made a hell of a run.
I am flabbergasted that so many people have them on the same level, if not. I've heard several have them pass Baltimore.
Come on, man.
I'm flabbergasted by that. And I understand what the Texans added. And I understand that Baltimore lost their coordinator. Someone texted in and said, you know, I'll accuse you of drinking too many silver bullets.
Maybe.
Clint, too many silver bullets. Let's not act like Baltimore don't have new coordinators on defense and lost important pieces. Geno Stone was important. Patrick Queen was important. You know, they had Henry and probably they'll probably be saying themselves, we got Mark Andrews for the year, and some other things. But that's a team that has been established as an AFC and Super Bowl type contender for years. I am flabbergasted. I'm not saying the Texans can't beat them. I'm just blown away. Ron, so many people have shoved the Texans on their level or past.
Ron, the Texans aren't. If you watched the Baltimore game last year and you walked away with, man, we're a player away. Danielle Hunter's putting us over the hump and getting it. Come on, man. Like, you don't go back and watch that game again. Like, you don't watch that game and go, man, we're one player away. No. I mean, until you meet them again and prove that you can beat them, prove that you can play toe-to-toe with them, there's no one player you're going to go out there and sign. No Diggs. There's no Danielle Hunter that you're going to go out there and sign and be like, okay, now we're equal to or above the Baltimore Ravens. Now, you got to go out there and do it.
All right. Important news you need to know about the Astros. And it doesn't even have to do with the game tonight. We'll talk about the game as well. But big, big night in the NBA as well. We'll touch also all of that coming up next. A little 5 o'clock fire right here live on The Drive.